Second Samuel chapter 7. Second Samuel chapter 7. But I want to do something great for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is to do anything for you. As we look at David's life once again, he did a lot of things for you. And now he has a really big idea. Lord, help us to learn something today about our ideas, that we may always seek your will and not our own. I ask for your help as we go through this study. Teach us through your word by your Holy Spirit, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1, it came to pass when the king sat in his house. Things are going pretty well for David. Everything is kind of settled down now. The verse continues, the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. So he has time to just sit in his house. And that's when he came up with a big idea. He had already done something big in his own eyes, at least. He had built a second tabernacle, put it at Jerusalem. Remember, we discovered there are two tabernacles now. The one is still at Gibeon, and the other here in Jerusalem. Not sure if God approved of that or not. He never actually asked God if that was okay. But he brought the Ark of the Covenant, set it in the tabernacle. And now he has the idea that he wants to build a building, a temple for God. Sometimes we convince ourselves that our motive for doing something is to please God, when what we are actually trying to do is do something great for ourselves. David, as it turns out, had a good idea, but what was his reason for wanting to do this? Let's consider. Verse 2, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. He thought it was unfair for him to dwell in a house of cedar. What would that smell like? Cedar wood smells pretty good. Can you imagine living in a house of cedar? Ooh. Something, and that wood is pretty strong and pretty durable too. Solid house, while the ark of God dwelt within tents. And Nathan, in verse 3, said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now, remember in chapter 6, David failed to consult with God regarding the transporting of the Ark of the Covenant. And that didn't go too well because they did it wrong. Instead of the priests carrying it on their shoulders with the poles, they tried to put it on a cart and it almost fell off. And one of the men touched it and died as a result. And notice now, Nathan doesn't, the prophet, who should know better, doesn't even consult with God. David says, I've got this great idea. Nathan says, go ahead. God's on your side. Do whatever you want. Sounds like a good idea to me. Go with it. We must not assume that our ideas of doing nice things for God are acceptable to him simply because He has blessed us in the past. God does not automatically approve of all of our ideas simply because we are his people. And we might have good motives, but we must not assume that we can repeat something just because we did it once before. David built a second tabernacle. God didn't strike him down for that. Now he wants to build a temple, but consider this illustration. Some boys in the neighborhood ask a man who lives alone and has a very big yard if they could play ball in his yard. He said, yeah, it's okay. So they played ball, and a little time went by. They wanted to play in his yard again. So they came, and they asked again, and he said, once again, yes, it's okay. Now they want to play a third time, and they assume now that it's all right because it was okay twice before. So they go and play in his yard, but unknown to them, he had just had it treated with special chemicals, and now they have disturbed all of that. If they had asked, they would have known. Their assumption caused the problem. Neither David nor the prophet asked God if it was okay for him to build the temple. They merely assumed that it was all right because God had been blessing David in many ways. But God had a different idea. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 4, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan. Nathan, you didn't consult me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Verse 5. Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord. Let those words ring in our ears. Thus saith the Lord. For us today, it would go like this. What does the Bible say? Luke 11, verse 28, but he, Jesus, said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48, he said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Remember Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Who is the man that's blessed? The one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Thus saith the Lord is the most important thing in life. It is from the word of God that we learn about salvation. It is from the word of God that we learn how to glorify him and be blessed by him. Thus saith the Lord. That's what David and Nathan had neglected, but God said, I've got something to say. Thus saith the Lord, verse 5, I didn't ask for a house. He says, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in. Verse 6, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Did I ever ask for a house of cedar? Verse 7, in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? God says a house of cedar because that's what David had suggested. Obviously, they're going to make the temple eventually out of much more than just cedar. Of course, the answer to this rhetorical question, why build ye not me an house of cedar? God never did ask that question. No, he never did. So thus saith the Lord, instead of you making me a house, I will make you a house. He wants to remind David where he came from. Verse 8, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I want you to remember where you came from and how you came to be where you are now. God put David in his place. He was getting a little puffed up, a little too proud in his successes. We need to be careful about that. Before we get too proud in our successes, we need, first of all, to remember where we came from. Verse 9, God said, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Not only do we need to remember where we came from, we also need to remember how we got where we are. God says, I did it, not you. I did it. I was with thee. I cut off all your enemies. I made you a great name. You didn't do that. I did. It doesn't matter whether we've been poor or rich. It doesn't matter whether we've been unknown or famous. Every Christian came from the same place of sin. God is the one who saved us. God is the one who brought us up out of the pit of the miry clay. God is the one who set our feet upon solid ground. God is the one who blessed us and gave us the privilege of serving him. We must never forget where we came from. Each and every one of us came from a place of sin. And we didn't bring ourselves out of that. God did. We wouldn't be where we are now if it wasn't for God. So God says, if I want something done, I will decide about that. Verse 10 of 2 Samuel chapter 7. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. If I want them to be stationary, I will decide that. David had made an arbitrary decision to make a second tabernacle and place it in Jerusalem. Was it God's choice for him to do that? Remember, I asked the question last week, with two tabernacles, which one of the Holy of Holies was God dwelling in? Remember when Solomon became king and he went to the tabernacle? He didn't go to the one in Jerusalem. He went to the one in Gibeon. I wonder if that's because that's where God was actually dwelling. Thus saith the Lord, I make the decisions. You need to consult with me. For us today, the thing that we need to keep in mind is Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Doesn't matter if you're an elder or a trustee or a teacher or whatever position you have in the church, we all must remember we are just his servants. He is the head of the church. That's why prayer is a very important part of our church. Notice how many times we pray in our service and the amount of time we spend praying. It's because we need to show that we are dependent upon God. It's an important part of our church service. It's an important part of our Wednesday night service. We actually pray on Wednesday evening. By the way, we could use a few more prayer warriors on Wednesday evening. It's an important part of our elder meetings. When our elders meet, did you know we take time for each and every one to pray? We don't just ask one of them to pray and then that's it for the rest of the meeting. We do all the business. No. A large part of our meeting is prayer. Why? Because Christ is the head of the church and we must consult with him and know his mind and his will to do what he wants. We might have great ideas. And as it turns out, God was in favor of the temple being built. He will have Solomon build the temple. But it wasn't for David. Thus saith the Lord, instead of you making me a house, I will make you a house. Verse 11. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. That is Solomon. Solomon, by God's choice. He says in verse 13, he, your son, shall build an house for my name. So David doesn't get to build it, but Solomon will. Thus, God was not opposed to having the temple built, but it was to be God's decision, not David's. Verse 13, I will establish your son's throne forever. He says, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. In spite of David's failures, David still pursued the heart of God. One failure David never committed was to worship another god or even acknowledge that another god existed. All of David's failures were moral failures. In the midst of them, he never stopped believing that God was the only God. And as a result of that, God will bless him. Verse 14, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. So Solomon will be accountable to God. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Solomon will also make some failures, have some failures, and make some terrible mistakes. But the result will never be what happened to Saul. Thus, David's house and kingdom will be established forever through his son. Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. Thus saith the Lord. We have to go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, you are a man of war, and therefore you may not build me a house. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 2. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people, as for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. Do you hear that? I had made ready for the building. David had already started making preparations for the building of the temple without consulting God. But God said unto me, verse 3, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Solomon will be a man of peace. There was a reason David was not allowed to build the house. It was a great idea, but it wasn't for him. Back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, David is greatly humbled by what God says to him. And this is so important. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 18, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. It's suggested by a lot of the commentators that he went into the tabernacle he had erected at Jerusalem, sat before the Ark of the Covenant. If that's true, then obviously the Shekinah glory of God was not in the tabernacle of Jerusalem, because David wouldn't be able to get near the Ark of the Covenant if that was true. The point is, David wanted to be alone with God. That's important. To be alone with God. And he said, David said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" In other words, I am nobody, and I don't deserve this. And that is the correct response. In spite of all of the promotion of self-esteem and I can do whatever I want to do, I can be whatever I want to be, and all the promotion of self in our world today, the correct response is, we are nobody. First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." I might do something really great for God. I might preach the gospel to hundreds, to thousands, to tens of thousands. But I can't boast about it. Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 11, Paul said, "I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles." Fact. "Though," he says, "I be nothing." David asked a very important question. Who am I? Who am I that I should have all of this? As amazing as my success is, now I am overwhelmed, David says, by what you are telling me about my sons for many generations to come. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 19. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 19. "And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of men, O Lord God?" David understood it was a great feat for God to make a shepherd boy a king. No, it was no great feat. It was a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. God can do anything. But then David was amazed at what God says about his sons to come after him. What God does is so unlike what man does. Only God would take such a lowly person and promote him to such a high place. David says in verse 20, what can David say more than thee? What else can I say? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. It's a sobering thought to think that God knows me. He knows the real me. He knows me as I really am. I can't hide anything from God. How well do you really know yourself? You can look in the mirror and see yourself. Can you see inside your own heart? God knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your desires. He knows what you consider to be important and what you consider not to be important. He knows your values. He knows your fears. He knows what will tempt you. He knows what will make you cry. He knows what will make you happy. He knows what you hate, and he knows what you love. He knows you. Do you know you? David had been riding very high. Success was going to his head, and his success was turning his head to some unhealthy things. We have already seen some of that, and we will see more. Was this idea of his of building a temple for God just another thing to bring glory to himself? He had to be reminded that all he had become and accomplished was because of God and not because of himself. He had to see himself once again for what he was, to put things back in perspective, to understand why he had become what he was. And in this moment, at least, he got it. Who am I that I should have all of this? David says in verse 21 of 2 Samuel 7, for thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. David acknowledged that all the things God had planned for the future and understands that even as God speaks it, though not yet done, it is as though it's already done. And then on top of that, he is amazed that God would let him know about this. You've done all these great things and you let your servant know. Wherefore, he says in verse 22, thou art great, O Lord God. For there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee. There it is. God, you're the only one. God, in all my weaknesses, in all my failures, I've never stopped believing that you're God. That's important, folks. And he says, there's no nation like Israel. Verse 23, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations of their gods. A nation made by God. We are your people and you are our God, he says in verse 24. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. So he says, may it all be according to your word. Verse 25. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever. Verse 28, he says, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words are true. Verse 29, therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, Lord, thou, O Lord God, has spoken it. Let's all remember where we came from. Not a person here that didn't come from a place of sin. We were all lost. And if it hadn't been for God, his mercy and his grace, we wouldn't be here worshiping him today. And let's not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Let's remember that we are God's people and he is our God. And let us always have this value as God's people. May it be according to his word. May everything we do be according to his word. May we never assume to do anything on our own without consulting the word of God. May it always be according to his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidance it gives us, for the instruction it gives to our hearts, for the direction it gives to our lives. May we heed your word always. May we seek your guidance always. May we never assume that you approve of our ideas. May we always submit our will to yours. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.